Bibles, please, for our second reading, Jeremiah chapter 46. Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Gentiles, against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, smote in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Order ye the buckler and shield, draw near to battle, harness the horses, and get up, ye horsemen, and stand forth with your helmets, furbish your spears, and put on the brigandines. Wherefore have I seen them dismayed and turned away back? And their mighty ones are beaten down and are fled apace, and look not back, for fear was round about, saith the Lord. Let not the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. They shall stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up, and will cover the earth. I will destroy the city, and the inhabitants thereof. Come up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans that handle the shield, and the Lydians that handle and bend the bow. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. The nations have heard of thy shame, and thy cry hath filled the land. For the mighty man hath stumbled against the mighty, and they are fallen both together. The word that the Lord spake unto Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon should come and smite the land of Egypt. Declare ye in Egypt, and publish in Migdol, and publish in Noph, and in Tapanhes, and say ye, stand fast, and prepare ye, for the sword shall devour round about thee. Why are the valiant men swept away? They stood not, because the Lord did drive them. He made many to fall, yea, one fell upon another. And they said, arise, let us go again to our own people, and to the land of our nativity, from the oppressing sword. They did cry there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He hath passed the time appointed. Excuse me. As I live, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely, as Tabor is among the mountains, and as Carmel by the sea, so shall he come. O thou daughter dwelling in Egypt, furnish thyself to go into captivity, for Noph shall be waste and desolate without an inhabitant. Egypt is like a very fair heifer, but destruction cometh. It cometh out of the north, and her hired men are in the midst of her like fatted bullocks, for they also are turned back and are fled away together. They did not stand, because the day of their calamity was come upon them, and the time of their visitation. The voice thereof shall go like a serpent, for they shall march with an army, and come against her with axes, as hewers of wood. They shall cut down her forest, saith the Lord, though it cannot be searched, because they are more than the grasshoppers, and are innumerable. The daughter of Egypt shall be confounded. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saith, behold, I will punish the multitude of Noah, and Pharaoh, and Egypt, with their gods and their kings, even Pharaoh and all them that trust in him. and I will deliver them into the hand of those that seek their lives, and into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of his servants. And afterward it shall be inhabited, as in the days of old, saith the Lord. But fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save thee from afar off, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and be in rest and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee, for I will make a full end of the nations whither I have driven thee, but I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure, yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Introducing chapter 46 is important. It is important for us to understand that we have indeed turned a corner in the book of Jeremiah. 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51. These next chapters, seven in all, will make up the judgment of the nations around Israel. Chapters 1 through 44, with this hinge pin that we saw in chapter 45. 1 through 44 was the story of the children of Israel from the days of Josiah to the days of that they ended up in Egypt. Isn't it interesting to anybody besides me that we have 44 chapters talking about the people of God, and then the Lord turns his attention to the nations around Israel? I am reminded of the New Testament passage that says it is time for judgment first to begin at the house of God. And so in the book of Jeremiah, we have the wicked nations that are around Israel, and they get passing mention, so on and so forth, during those first 44 chapters. But the focus is upon Israel. Then after the Lord has shown us what the disposition of his people will be, seven chapters, and again, I think seven is an indicative, a prophetic number. Seven chapters, seven different stories about seven different nations that will be judged. Actually, I think one of them take up two chapters. And then, beyond that, the last chapter, chapter 52, guess where we are? Well, we're back with the covenant people in Egypt. And so we have the epilogue, if you will, of the book. So, judgment begins at the house of God. That's, I think, what the outline tells us. All right. Turning his attention then to the nations, the first on the radar screen is Egypt. And the chapter is split between two looks at Egypt. There's a look at Egypt in the fourth year of Jehoiakim with Pharaoh Necho, when Nebuchadnezzar first comes out and takes care of Necho. You remember who Pharaoh Necho was? He was the Pharaoh that was going to meet with the Assyrians and to conquer them. And Josiah, the good king Josiah, came up and said, I'm going to come and face you in the valley of Megiddo. And Necho said, don't do that. I'm on an errand from Yahweh. Josiah wouldn't listen. He went up instead, and he died in the valley of Megiddo. All right. Well, Matthew Henry's very forward to say that this is judgment upon Necho for killing good King Josiah. I'm not sure if I would agree with that wholly, but I would say that God does not leave the people that do ill to his people untouched. He certainly does not. And so we have then the first and second judgment of Egypt. The first judgment of Egypt, fourth year of Jehoiakim, the second judgment of Egypt, when the people of Israel are down in Egypt, and what Jeremiah prophesied in chapter 43 and chapter 44, that Nebuchadrezzar would indeed come down to Egypt. He would be moved out of his place. Now, if you remember your ancient Near Eastern geography, if we have the river Euphrates over here, and actually it runs kind of like this, right? If we have the river, well, it runs like this. If we have the river Euphrates like this, and then we have Babylonia up here where where the Chaldeans lived, and then we have Egypt way down here. Remember that? It's a long way for Nebuchadnezzar to go, stirring himself up as he did to conquer Egypt, and yet it was the Lord that sent him on that errand to conquer Egypt. And you know why? Remember that? Do you remember why Egypt came underneath the radar, underneath the bullseye? Because the children of Israel went down there for protection, and they put themselves under the Pharaoh's protection to protect them from the Chaldeans, whom the Lord said they should be serving in the land of promise. After the captivity was, after that final taking of the captives was complete. But they wouldn't. And so they put themselves under Pharaoh's protection to Pharaoh's demise. The Lord sent Nebuchadnezzar to continue working with his people. So, the substance of the prophecy is that Pharaoh Necho and his army will be defeated. Notice how large the coalition is. It is not only Egypt, but it is those confederates with Egypt. These are the nations around about geographically Egypt, ancient Egypt, which was larger than it is today. Ethiopia, Libya, and Lydia, all three of those nations were confederate with Egypt when they went forth. The Lord calls them his own adversaries. And notice that when the Lord is your adversary, no device, no matter how strong in appearance, is able to prosper. They are confident, but the Lord declares that it is his day. They look for a victorious outcome, but the Lord has determined defeat. And let us remember that all of our plans and hopes and expectations, that in all of those, that it is the Lord that disposes all things to his own glory. But notice, however, how soon they are turned from their expectation to cowardice. They turn almost immediately. They get out into the field. They recognize the stronger force, and those who just a day or two before were swaggeredly in their boast that we will go forth and conquer were put to fright. And I want you to think on your own life. When there are times when you have had a particular confidence and you've set it forth and you've gone forth with that confidence and you've seen it dashed, and how quickly in your own mind you have turned from confidence to fear. This is what happens when we when we venture out from the Lord's protection and covering, when we venture out from his word, what he has said he would do. So let us be careful then not to make plans that we cannot keep. The second portion of the chapter is, I thought, interesting in the way that Jeremiah presents these pictures, these metaphors. Not only will they suffer defeat in the field, this is when Pharaoh Necho and his army went out, they met Nebuchadnezzar, and they were defeated in the field, not only there, but back at home as well. And Matthew Henry is very clear to make that distinction. I think that's a good distinction to make. Notice, the army goes out into the field and is defeated out in the field. Okay, but there's always going home, right? We can always go home, lick our wounds, and rebuild our forces and heal up and get ready and train more and get ready for the next time. But notice the Lord says, I'm going to send Nebuchadnezzar even to your home, that the land of Egypt will fall. It's not just the army of Egypt that will fall, but it is the land of Egypt that will fall. And so when the Lord sets his sights upon a people, there is indeed no territory that is off limits. Note the certainty. The Lord uses geographic features to note the certainty of his determination. And often in Scripture, the Lord uses geographic features to show longevity, certainty, and so on. He says, as Carmel is by the sea and as Tabor is in the mountains, so will I come into Egypt. In other words, if you can get somehow Carmel not to be by the sea anymore, and Tabor Mountain not to be in the mountains anymore, but flat, then also can my word be doubted that I'm coming to Egypt. Oh, you can't do those two things? Okay, then, I'm coming. That's what the Lord says. And so it's a certainty of his determination. And notice also he says, as I live. Whenever the Lord says, as I live, It is as secure as God's own aseity. Aseity is the doctrine of self-existence. And so, or the Lord's self-existence. You know, all of us, we are contingent beings. The Lord is not contingent. His being exists of its own accord. He is self-perpetuating. He exists in eternity by the force of his own being and will. So then, when the Lord says, as I live, that means if he is drawing his own existence into into the promissory nature of this threat or of this promise, we can be certain that it will come to pass. All right, then notice the discouragement and fear. It says the hired men. Now the hired men there, those are those hardened mercenary types. Those are the ones that have seen battle. They have been around the block, if you will. The hired men, those who take money to go to war. Notice that even they will flee. They will be afraid. Also, we normally don't think of Egypt as having a forest, do we? Is Egypt a forested land? Well, no. While it is fertile in and around the Nile Valley, it's certainly not a forested land in that sense. And yet the Lord says that the forest of Egypt will be cut down, because a forest in the ancient Near East was thought of as a stronghold. And so those strong places of Egypt, that in which they trust for their strength, that shall be cut down or taken away also. Okay, and then notice that it is not only the people of Egypt, the daughters and the men, but also the gods of Egypt that the Lord pursues. And I just want to pull up there and notice with you how interesting that is. That, remember, two chapters ago, we were reading that Nebuchadnezzar will come into Egypt and he will break down the tabernacle of Beth Shemesh. Beth Shemesh was the house of the sun, the worship of the god Ra in Egypt. That when God destroys a nation, it's not only because they have threatened his people, it's because they have worshipped idols. And so the Lord here says, I'm going to come into Egypt and I'm going to make war, not only against the daughters, the sons, the men, but I'm also going to make war against the gods of Egypt. And then he specifically mentions Pharaoh, because the Egyptian worship included worshiping Pharaoh as a son of the gods. And so all of the false deity, all of the false religion, also the Lord comes into town, comes into the land of Egypt, and destroys it all. All right, and then the chapter closes with a reference to God's favor and deliverance of his people. And he uses the name Jacob. The reason he uses the name Jacob is, remember that in the history of the covenant people, there was a time when they sojourned in the land of Egypt under their father Jacob. And the Lord is reminding them that as I brought you forth out of Egypt before in victory, so as you have been chastised in Egypt and many of you have died, a small remnant will come forth. A small remnant will come forth, and I will indeed show favor to Jacob. And in that he uses Jacob, they are to remember when they went down to sojourn in the land of Egypt so many years ago and came out a mighty nation. Here it is just the opposite. They went in as 70. They came out as millions. Here they go in with everything that they have left in the captivity, and it is a very small remnant that will be brought out. And yet the Lord uses Jacob, the name Jacob, because he would remind them of the safety that they had while he protected them when they were in Egypt before. And that small and faithful remnant will indeed be brought again to their home. That's the end of Jeremiah chapter 46. Is that right? 46, yes. Let's stand and continue.